You know, we're at the end of our series. This is our very last message for this series. You know, we do short series, right? This is like the 26th message. It's okay. It's all good. It's really, really good. So we're going to have Solomon come up and read the verses for us today. He's going to tell you a little bit about his story and then read the verses. You know, this shows you how much you love a person because he hates my football team and I still asked him to come up. Isn't that amazing? All right, there you go.
I don't know where you got that from.
Right.
Could have gotten a better picture. Should have told me. I would have found you one. So my name is Solomon. I'm from Ireland. And as you can see, that's me back home when I went home for the summer. And it was just so good to go back home and drive on the right side of the road again. So that was very interesting. So like I was saying, I'm from Ireland. Originally, my parents are from Nigeria, but I grew up in Ireland. Been in Ireland like 17 years, so I kind of grew up there, you know, did everything from there. But what it was I grew up in a Muslim home. So my dad was Muslim, my mom was uncertain, but true, right? And I was even worse. I was rebellious. I did everything because I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was something that wasn't right with the way I was being brought up. So then I started going to church, but not for like trying to find God, but because I knew there was something in me that was stirring me up. So I started going to church, and when I go to church, I would go in and I would question the pastor and people in them, and I'll try and make them doubt their faith. I'm like, you guys don't have a clue what you're talking about, you know? Yeah. So I kept doing that over and over again, and then one day the Lord arrested my heart, and he just, ever since, it's not like a specific day, it's just been a journey, just a long journey. And I still do silly stuff. But you know what? The Lord's got me, and that's it. You know.
Amen.
In January 2017, I came to this country, and I wanted to go to two churches in particular. One of them was this church, and then the other one was it's called New Creation Church. So what it was the New Creation Church starts at 10 o'clock, and this one here starts at 11. All right, don't start laughing. I live in Kipling and Seals, right? It's a long journey. So I was coming in, and then I landed in Bazarian, and I was late. So I was like, well, what's the point of going to a new church late when you can just come to one that starts at 11? So I came in here, and I sat down, and I was listening to Del preach. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm talking about. This is me. And I stood back for like 30 to 40 minutes just chatting away to Dell. And ever since, I was like, okay, this is my house. And then I discovered there's a Liverpool fan here and ruined it, but it's okay. The Lord's got us. So let's actually go into the scriptures as opposed to just me messing around. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, and also Romans 14, 1 to 12. So it says, now I remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believe he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Yeah, that's right.
One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Right. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Yeah.
For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here we are at the end. You know, one of my prayer really was that this message would not just be a whimper at the end of a long series, but it would really have impact. And I was just mentioning to someone yesterday and today, I've been waiting to give this message for 10 years. Now, I don't want you to have raised expectations that it's going to be absolutely amazing because of that. It's just that something has been in my heart. The Lord has been working with me for a very, very long time about this particular topic. It's absolutely critical that we get this morning. So we started talking 26 or 25 messages ago about being anchored. The age that we live in is not the age that we used to live in. And you can see all the different topics that we've covered. But the one thing that we were really, really clear on is there is something that anchors us during stormy times. And you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14, 15. There Paul is just saying to the believers, look, it's not good enough to just remain as little children. If you remain as little children, what's going to happen is there's going to be waves and there's going to be winds and there's going to be things that toss you all over the place. You need to be anchored. You need to be anchored in God's word. You need to be anchored in his truth to know when you hear a certain thing, no, I don't have to pay attention to that. And something else, no, I don't have to pay attention to that. And you hear something else say, that's it. And that's how we started. And one of the appeals that we made to you at the very beginning is it's not just good enough to know. Can you speak this? And we've been encouraging you, dive in, get in so that you can answer somebody when they ask you a question. 1 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16 talk about, you know, you should always be ready. When someone comes to you and asks of you, what is the hope that you have? You should be ready. And you can't be ready if you just know. You got to be able to deliver it in some kind of way, whether it's a simple or a complex way. It doesn't really matter at this point, but you got to be able to deliver it. And so there are those good-hearted people who come to you and they genuinely want to know more and more about the Christian faith. And why do you believe in God? And then there are other people who come to you as well, and they're very contentious. They want to pick a fight with you. And Jude chapter 3 tells us, you and I need to learn to contend for the faith once delivered to us. We need to contend. So on the one hand, we need to learn how to present, but on the other hand, we have to know how to contend for the faith. So that's what we're going to be looking at a little bit this morning. You know, I remember when I was, Deb and I were earlier this year, we were in Dominican Republic just having, you know, a vacation together. And we met this wonderful couple from Peterborough, Ontario. And he was really towards the end of his life. And, you know, we got to know them a little bit. And then we're sitting, you know, poolside with them one day. And for some reason, of course, they knew I was a pastor and all that kind of stuff. And that kind of blunts a lot of conversations that you have. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. Anyway, so on this particular day, we were talking about something, and all of a sudden he says, what difference religion makes? They're all headed in the same direction. Okay, now I'm on the spot. What am I going to say? Okay, so this man is just a simple man. He's not undermining the faith or anything else. And so it's not about contending at that point. It's just giving him a little answer to let him know, you know what? No, they don't all end in the same place. The Christian faith is extremely unique. Anyway, this has been our heart from the very beginning. Anchored truth in changing times. Brothers and sisters, friends, know your Bible. Know the truth so you can stand on it, especially as you go through your life. This message is interesting for me because I feel like it's a review of, let's see, I got saved when I was, somebody quickly do the math for me. I got saved when I was 18 and now I'm 54. So how many, somebody, never mind, it's been a long time. 36, okay, good. 36 years. 36 years of following Jesus, and it's not all been the same. And I want to, and I feel like my journey as a Christian kind of follows along with this message, because here's what happened. When I was 18 years old, remember, I grew up in a home that did not talk about God. My dad believed in UFOs and extraterrestrials and things like that. Yeah, it was a very interesting family to grow up in. Anyway, but when I received Jesus, the one thing that I wanted to do was just be with other people who love Jesus. So when I found another Christian, I was like, hey, I'm a Christian too. And it was like, great, this is awesome. And that carried on for a little while. I just felt like, wow, I just love warmly receiving Christians. Isn't that what God called us to? That's exactly what God called us to. And then, you know, I hadn't figured out by that time. Remember, I have no Christian background at all. I hadn't figured out that at that time, there are Christians on different teams. You know that, right? There's different teams of Christians. Like, you know, you got one group of Christians over here, and you got another group of Christians, and they don't necessarily like each other. And again, remember, this is back in the 80s. Now, things may have changed today, but this is what's going on. It's like, hey, you got this team over here and this team over here, and they don't talk to each other. So here's my first experience of that. I went, before we got married, I went to Georgian College, which is up in Barrie. And at that point, I was doing a chef program, learning how to cook and those guys. No, you cannot come over to my house and expect really good. I just know how to do great macaroni and cheese, okay? That's about it. So I was in this program and I met a Christian. And I think I've told this story before, but then, you know, we were having great fellowship together and we were praying together and reading the Bible together. And one day, for some reason, it dawned upon this young man to ask me this question: are you a Baptist? And I said, I'm a Christian. And he said, if you're not a Baptist, you're going to hell. I'm like, wow. And I'll be very honest with you, he didn't talk to me that much after that. There's teams. I'm finding out there's teams here, and they don't like each other. Shortly after I got saved as well, I started to go to a Pentecostal church. And they made it very, very clear to me, unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? I got to be a Baptist. I got to be a Pentecostal. Everybody thinks they're right. And I'm wondering, okay, is that it? Is that what God called us to? So in my mind, I'm starting to realize, hey, there must be a right one and a wrong one. Or maybe one right one and all the rest are wrong. So I connected up with this group that had that thought. We're right, everybody else is wrong. And I was with them for 20 years. And I learned a lot during those years. I don't despise those years. I learned a lot during those years. But eventually, because they had this underlying feeling like we're the ones, we're the only ones who are doing it right, you had to read their Bible, you had to sing their songs, you had to follow their whole program. And so I'm starting to realize, okay, why don't I love other Christians? Where's the warmly receiving? I'm getting exclusive. I'm getting kind of insulated. And I realize this is not what God has called us to. Well, eventually, about 10 years ago, something changed. I saw something completely different that I'd never seen, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to share with you how to have a proper, balanced view of the way we should approach our Christian life and approach the truth that we are standing on and all of the other things that go along with the Christian faith. Well, so let me just say it this way. There are things, and we've gone through them. Can you, Esther, can you bring that list up for me again, please, of the topics that we've gone through? Many of the items that we've covered so far in this series, those are the essentials of the faith. We believe that God is triune, right? Yes, we do. And if you have any doubts or your concerns, please go to our website, go to the beginning, check out all of these things. We believe the Bible is God's word, right? We believe he is the creator. We also believe that human beings are sinful. And no matter what they do, they cannot change that. These are absolutely essential to understanding the Christian faith. We also believe this: Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, took on flesh. He incarnated. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross, died on the cross, went into the tomb for 3 days, and he rose again. That's essential to our faith. Absolutely essential to our faith. And we also believe this, that he sent the Holy Spirit. And in sending the Holy Spirit to help us to recognize we are sinners, what do we get to do? We get to open up to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, please come in, save me from my sin. I accept everything that God has done through Jesus Christ. And we become regenerated or born again. We become children of God. And we are being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, which is just a process that we are in to become more and more like Jesus. Brothers and sisters, friends, those are the essentials. There are, you know, I could go into more detail, but I just don't have the time. Those are the essentials of the faith. You need to stand on those things. If someone says to you, I don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you should be able to defend that. If someone says to you, I don't believe that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, you should be ready to defend that, because that's an essential of your faith. You need to stand very, very firm on that. I want to also point out that there are some other, I'm going to call them non-essential teachings. You may have heard of some of these things, things like rapture, things like end time events. Esther, can you bring up the end time events thing? It's like that white one. Yeah. People love to dive into this kind of stuff. But I want to make it very, very clear. You can be absolutely clear. Now, some people are really fascinated. All the analysts are like, wow, that's amazing, right? And the rest are like, uh-huh. Okay, so you can be absolutely clear on every detail on that chart. But you know what I would tell you? That does not help to get you saved. Whether you believe in the rapture, or you know all the end time events, or you know all kinds of different teachings, those things don't save you. But the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is what saves you. And that is the anchor you need to hold to. Don't hold to this stuff. Look, I'm not saying you don't, if you want to get into it, get into it. But never allow rapture. Go back to the other one for me, Esther. Never let being caught up together with Christ. That's, you know, for those of you who are not clear, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Check out those verses. There's absolutely no doubt that there's going to be something called the rapture. Don't get worried about those kind of things. That doesn't save you. What saves you and me is believing in Jesus Christ. And so many Christians separate themselves from each other, cannot warmly receive each other because they're concerned. Do you believe in the rapture? Because if you don't believe in the rapture, I can't meet with you. Something's seriously wrong with that. That is not an essential of your faith that will save you and bring you eternal life. So there are items like that, the rapture, end time events, the millennium. Is it an, a literal millennium? Is it a figurative, whatever? Like, people get all tied up over these kind of things. Don't allow those things to come into your heart to the point where you push Christians away. That's not what God has called us to. But I do want to talk about essential responses, because these are critical. The one essential response that we have is believe. Just think about this. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. Whoever believes will have eternal life. Think about this one. This is an essential thing. We saw 8 people this morning do this. Jesus Christ, before he left this earth, he said, be baptized. Be baptized. And that's really what we need to do. If you're here this morning and you have believed, but you have not yet been baptized, God has a call on your life. God has a call on your life. It's time to be baptized. Another thing that is an essential response for us is meeting with Christians. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't neglect the meeting together. We should be. These are just absolutely critical items for us to grow well in the Christian life. And another one is communion or the Lord's table. We need to take. Right? If you're a Christian, we're do this in remembrance of me. Let me ask you, do this. Does that sound like a suggestion? It's not. How about be baptized? Is that a suggestion?
No.
These are absolute commands that Jesus gives us. So will this save you? No. This is not going to give you eternal life. But it is incredibly important for us in terms of our Christian life. Okay, I'm going to come back to some of these things in a second to show you. On the one hand, there's a command, but on the other hand, there's something else. And the other thing that we need to know, an essential response, is gospel. We are told, and Nigel went through it this morning, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Every single one of us needs to have the gospel at the center of our heart and always looking to help people to know Jesus. Well, let me help you with a couple of other things. I did already mention baptism. Baptism is important. But let me ask you, is where you get baptized important? Is it? Is where? See, this is where we start to see. Okay, there's an essential thing in terms of being baptized, but there's some flexibility here. Jesus never said, this is how I want you to do it. I want you to have a brown box with lots of water in it, and I want 2 people on either side, or 1 on either side, and I want you to... He never said those kind of things. And so in our Christian life, when it comes to our practices... In the New Testament, we have a lot of flexibility. Was there anybody here who was baptized in a lake? Great! You sinners. You didn't get baptized in the brown box. Do you see how silly that is? How stupid. And yet we do it all the time. Let's take the Lord's table. How often should we have the Lord's table? Should it be once a week? Should it be once a month? Should it be once every 6 months? Should it be once a year? You know what the Bible tells us? Nothing. Well, we do know this from the example in the book of Acts, that the early believers, they broke bread together every single day. Anybody up for that? See, none of you want to follow the Bible. What is wrong? Like, I thought you really loved Jesus. Okay, like, think about it. The Bible is not that clear. The Bible doesn't come down hard and fast and say, you've got to break the bread on a certain, well, it does say on a certain day, but let me challenge that. What happens if you live in Saudi Arabia? I'm serious. You can lose your life there. Madeline, am I wrong? She just testified at our home group Friday night. She had friends of hers who were being arrested in Saudi Arabia because they mentioned the name of Jesus and there was... Guitar. Yeah, they had a guitar! Wow. I'm not playing around here. Like, if you are so dogmatic and you say, I've got to break bread on the first day of the week, in Saudi Arabia, you're going to be in trouble. You'll be in jail. And so... The New Testament is full of flexibility when it comes to these kind of practices. Don't let these things divide you. I'll give you a couple of other non-essentials. Okay? What kind of instruments does the Bible tell us we should use for church? A harp. I thought that was heaven. What kind of instruments does the Bible tell us we should use? Okay, no, that Del's answer is fair. What does the New Testament tell us? What instruments does the New Testament tell us we should use when we worship? What does it say? Make a joyful noise. You know, I love it when we make a joyful noise in here, but some of you make a lot more noise than others. You know that, right? Like, it's okay. We can get those who are tone deaf and, you know, it doesn't matter. They've got beautiful voice. We're here to make a joyful noise. That's it. Is the drum from the devil? No. Be careful. Some Christians think that. And you may have a Christian sitting next to you at work or on the bus and you're having fellowship with one another and everything's going fine. And they're going to say, oh, by the way, do you have drums in your worship time? And you're going to say, okay, how am I going to answer this? Because this can go one of two ways. So you just be honest and say, yeah, we do. And then they let into you. What does the New Testament tell us about chairs or pews? Nothing? Right. So be happy. Don't feel condemned. Like, I am not sitting on a pew. It's not holy. How about this? What does the New Testament say about Bible translations? Is there an authorized? Now, this depends on who you talk to. Is there an authorized version of the Bible? Yes, it's called King James. But it's not authorized. It was authorized by King James. It's not authorized by God. Don't get all, but some people love that. Nigel was telling me there's a group over by his place, Lawrence and Vic Park, and there's signs there that say, King James only church. Okay, just in case you're not familiar with what King James is, that's a version of the Bible. If you're going to meet with that group of Christians, you can only use the King James Version. What version do we use here? Actually, we use the ESV, but that's okay. But you can use whichever version you like. We don't have to sit here and say, hey, you don't use ESV. You're not welcome here. Brothers and sisters, we cannot allow these things to divide us from other Christians. Amen? Amen. Why? What's the point? The Bible doesn't tell you specifically. So there's... Can you go to my last slide for me? I want you to see this. In essentials, we need unity. In non-essentials, we need liberty. Do you know what that means? It means flexibility. It just means, hey, yeah, you like to raise your hands when we're worshiping. That's okay. You just, if the person next to you is doing that, don't feel like you've got to. But if you want to join in, feel free to join in. That's called liberty. Freedom. In essentials, we're going to be pretty strong. The death, the resurrection, the incarnation, God is triune. We are going to be strong on those things, and we want you to be strong. But when it comes to non-essentials, learn to have liberty. Learn to have liberty. And then, of course, in all things, charity or love. Esther, can you go to a quote that I have? I think this may help you a little bit more. I'm gonna end with an illustration, but I want to hit this quote first, just to hit it again. This is Craig Payne. He says this, when I'm dealing with those who know little or nothing about Christianity, I boil down the necessary teachings to only three elements. So if you can hold on to these things, this is what we're fighting for, okay? This is what we're standing on. Number one, Christians believe that God has revealed himself as a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. Number two, Christians believe that God, the Son, became human and was named Jesus, simultaneously fully God and fully human. That is really important. Remember, if he's just fully human, there's not going to be an eternal effect to what he's done. And if he's just fully God and not fully man, how could he redeem the people that he came for? He needs to be fully God and fully man. And number three is this. Christians believe that through the sinless life, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins and the eternal life of God is offered to all those who believe, confessing Christ as their Lord. That's what we're fighting for, brothers and sisters. Don't allow yourself to fight for anything else. Let me close with an illustration for you. I'm going to use my two hands. There are Christian groups that, in a sense, they hold both of their hands open. And I'm going to let you know what this means. Let's say my left hand is... It represents the essentials of the faith. This is what's going to save us. Okay? And the right hand is our practices, the way we do church, the way we grow as Christians, things like that. Okay? So there are some groups, there are some churches that you will visit. And in a sense, they have an open hand when it comes to both. And it's commendable on the one hand, joke. I know, that was pretty groany. Sorry. It's commendable because practices should remain flexible and in context to where you are. We are 21st century in Toronto. Our church should practice in a way that is culturally relevant to people in Toronto. Yeah. If this church was in Uganda, it would look different, wouldn't it? Yeah. The practices would look different. And that's totally fine. So let me come back to this church that has two open hands. So while we commend them for the open hand of flexibility when it comes to practices, they also have an open hand when it comes to the truth that we stand on and that will save us. And so for some churches, that it's okay to, you know, kind of debate about the virgin birth of Jesus. It's like, it's not really an essential. Did Jesus really resurrect? It's not a big deal. We see an issue with that. That's trouble. Let me go to the other extreme. We have some churches that do this. They have closed hands. And let me explain what that means. As far as the essentials of the faith are concerned, they hold rock solid those essentials. And we commend them for that. They are unflinching. Somebody comes and questions the truth or questions the essentials for salvation, and they will stand until they die. And we commend them for that. The issue is, when it comes to their practices, they also have a rock solid hold on them. And so there are specific practices. They feel you have to do these. Only the King James Bible. That would be in that hand. They are culturally irrelevant. They're singing songs that are way too old. Nothing against old hymns. Love them. Love them. But the way that they're doing church is just old and nobody's interested. And unfortunately, what's happening is they're dying. We need a better model, right? We need a model like this. On the truth and the essentials, a closed hand. On our practices, open-handed. And I'll explain why. We want you to stand firm on the truths that will save you. We want you to be able to tell other people. We want you to be willing to die for those truths. Defend them vigorously. Don't give in when it comes to these truths that God has given to us. And on the other hand, should we expect CIT to start changing? Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
Yes.
We better, right? Because, you know, if we lock in today, that's it. Okay. Then we closed our hand on something. Always keep in mind, churches should be changing. Look, there's a difference between changing and compromising. We're not compromising when it comes to what we believe in. I can guarantee you, no matter what this church looks like in 2 years, we will still be rock solid on the essentials of the faith. Right, Nigel?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. That's not going to change. But you know what? Things may have changed. And that's okay, because we're fighting. We're fighting to be relevant to people of today and to help them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring freedom into their lives. I hope this message is helpful for you. It's been this demonstration that I just did for you. When I saw that 10 years ago, it changed my Christian life, because I realized I know now what I'm fighting for. And I know what I don't need to fight for. And you know the beauty of this? I can now warmly receive Christians from every strand. Doesn't matter. You know the guy who told me, you're going to go to hell if you're not a Baptist? I have some good Baptist friends now. And just a little while ago, I was in Vancouver hanging out with a whole bunch of, you know, Pentecostals. That was awesome too. Like, you know, and I, like, you know, some people were talking about speaking in tongues, and in my heart, I'm like, I'm okay. I know I don't have to speak in tongues. The Bible's clear. I don't need to do those kind of things. It's not an essential to faith. Brothers and sisters, as we go forward, can we have this kind of a model as our church? We're going to hold fast to what matters, what will save us. And in the open hand with our practices, we're going to be flexible and we will be changing. Okay? All right, let me pray and then we're done. Father, we just want to thank you for the clarity that you've given us this morning. I'm just praying for freedom to wash over this place, wash over our hearts. Lord, Lord, where are we? Is our mind stuck? Lord, we pray for a spirit of freedom to work in this place right now. Lord, help us to open up that hand that is stuck on practices. Help us to see, Lord, you can do it in so many different ways. So God, I pray for a real freedom in each one of our hearts. And I pray also, God, that you would help us to be so clear on what are the essentials of our faith, what we are standing on and what we are fighting for. And we ask all of this in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Wow. Okay, we're done. We are done our series. Next week, we start Psalms. I am so excited to get into Psalms. Nigel's kicking it off next week. So it's Psalms for all seasons. All the seasons of your life, there's a psalm. Come and enjoy. Oh, if you have any questions about this message, I'm available to answer them for you. We're done. Sorry. You're dismissed. That's the Slido code there, Z776.